Let me switch over. I just thought I'd put the link on the screen for those of you who've asked us for the link. We just did a shortened version, so bit.ly/DCXLive, and you can post questions directly, and we'll make sure it gets to the panelist. So I am, it's sort of deja vu for me because about 2 years ago I reported into the next speaker. And David, for the first time I saw him in our CT conference in Europe, and he spoke about then already how digital disruption is really the next wave that we should be focusing on. But he went so far as to make it so real how it's already impacting our lives and we didn't even know it. And he's going to allude to that today. And I think sometimes we avoid the situation purely because it's the unknown. And I read Elon Musk's book recently where he said in there a very profound statement which sort of hit home. You could stand by and watch the changes happen around you, or you can actually be part of that change and enjoy it. So I think that's the question we should answer today. But without further ado, let me please welcome on stage David Chalmers, VP and Chief Technologist, HP EMEA.
Thank you very much, Rudy, and thank you very much for the invitation to come here. It's always a little daunting when you're the second speaker of the day, sitting in the front row, listening to somebody really good give the presentation about the world, thinking, how do you follow that? But I'll do my best. Actually, I think the speaker before was absolutely right about what he said, but I think, if anything, he underplayed the amount of change that's going on. I think that actually there are more change going on in our world than we've been used to. And I would challenge you as IT professionals, as people focused on this industry, to think about what does that mean for us? And in the next few minutes or so, I want to talk about, from a technology perspective, what does this changing world really look like? How's it going to affect us, and how do we cope with that if we're actually going to be successful in this world? Because it's very clear, as was outlined before, but today, information technology is the defining industry of our time. If you look at all of the major shifts in our societies over the last 300 years, any students of history in the audience, we've seen at least one industry that has fundamentally defined how that culture has developed. In the late Middle Ages, it was the Industrial Revolution and weaving around the cotton industry. In the 18th and 19th century, it was railways that started to change the transport industry. In the early 20th century, it was the motor car that made us unique and individual and gave us independence. In the late 20th century, it was clearly telecoms. Today, it's IT. Nothing in our world happens without information technology. Supermarkets can't put food on the shelves without IT. As the previous speaker said, banks are essentially IT organizations that happen to have some capital. We are living in a world where IT defines our culture and our life, and it is going to continue to do so as we go forward. I would contend to you, ladies and gentlemen, that you will see more change by the use of IT in the next 3 or 4 years than you have seen in the last 25. So that singularity that Ahmed talked about this morning, that was shown in the videos, the previous speaker talked so eloquently about, it's now. It's not going to happen, it is happening. It's not going to happen to somebody else, it's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to me, it's going to happen to all of us as we go forward. And what I do is I collect examples in my role as a technologist of where we see reality of this actually, but not big ones like we're changing the way cars work, but I collect silly ones. So we're all very used to, on the left-hand side, fitness examples. I would render a guess that says a significant number of you in this room are either wearing or carrying some sort of fitness device, either in a Fitbit-style jawbone or inside your app. That's fairly common. The one at the top of the screen is also relatively common, a locator beacon that you can attach to something important. was designed for things like car keys or things like that. Actually, I have some of the members of my innovation team attach it to their children, so they can track where their children are, which is a little bit more worrying. The other two are perhaps a little bit more radical. The one at the middle bottom of the screen is a project that came out of MIT, which is embedded mobile phones. It's not something you carry in your hand, but it's embedded under the skin of your arm. Think about it. An embedded device inside your arm is powered entirely by the heat and electricity of your blood supply, and it just looks like a small freckle on your arm till your phone rings, and then a 4-inch video screen opens up on your arm. Think about it. Embedded technology. Now, I'm old. Would somebody of my generation really want to volunteer to have that done to them? Not sure. If you look in the Western European and North American markets, nearly 40% of the under 30-year-olds have some form of tattoo, body art, or piercing. Would they go for an embedded device? Possibly. May well do. The world is already changing. The one on the top right is a Californian company called Think. You buy a little small headset for them, costs $299, and it controls the mood of your brain from your phone. The idea being that that wonderful relaxed feeling you get after 2 weeks on vacation, you can actually reproduce that in an hour or two by putting on the headset and pressing the button on your phone. Think about it. Changing the mood of your brain through your phone. Reality right now, today. But I think the example I still like best is this one. I like it because it's boring, and I like it because it's about the most prosaic thing I could think of. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a photograph of my toothbrush. It's not a very special toothbrush, it's a buzzy electrical thing, because my dentist told me that was the right thing to have. It actually cost me slightly less when I bought it about a year ago than the one I did before. Also an electric thing. This one, however, comes with processing power built into it. It comes with applications built into it. It comes with networking built into it. It has sufficient processing power in the toothbrush to work out how well or how not I'm cleaning my teeth. I apparently have a weakness for the back right of my mouth. I'm very right-handed. I don't do that very well. It has enough processing power to remember, storage capacity, to remember the last 25 times I cleaned my teeth. It can connect automatically through my wireless router to my smartphone. It comes with two apps, one of which wakes me up every morning as I'm cleaning my teeth and tells me I'm likely to be late because it's looked at my calendar and I'm running out of time. It's a toothbrush. It's not exactly pioneering, world-beating technology. Think about a world right now that we can afford to give away that level of compute technology, that storage, that networking, that application development. That's the world, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to affect you. That's the world where every single thing that you can think of will be digitally enabled as we go forward. It's not going to change the world. It has already changed the world. It's going to affect every single one of you in this room. It's going to affect every industry you work in, every organization you're in, very differently. Different industries will go at different paces, there are different levels of impact. But we are now looking at a very, very different world for IT to try and react to. And we are changing. The IT industry is changing very quickly to move away from the traditional models to give you better ways to try and cope. Now, I've been in this industry since mainframes were quite a cool idea. But that was a very long time ago. We've come through the client-server world, probably more accurately the server-client world, where best of breed was a best way of acquiring technology. Today we're in the cloud world, and we're already seeing the end of that maturity phase. Those of you out in this audience who have jobs, job titles are like cloud architect or deciding how you're going to use it, those days will be short-lived as we'll continue to evolve and use new generations of technology as the edge becomes more important. As all of those devices, be they autonomous cars, be they big complicated things that happen to other people, or are the things that happen to us, our toothbrushes, our ability to actually do. My other favorite example right now is an internet-enabled spoon. Right? It tells you to slow down so that you don't get overweight. It costs $3, right? Internet-enabled spoon. It's an edge device, and it will drive workload from the edge to the data center to the cloud. We'll have a very different model of designing and building technologies, because we'll have to have if we're going to cope with the levels of change that we're going to see. Because you're going to see change in two dimensions. One is scale. I may need to teach you some new words today. You know, I'm all sure, very highly familiar, I'm sure, with concepts of terabytes or petabytes or even exabytes. But how about yottabytes, brontobytes, and geophobytes? Orders of magnitude more digital stuff. I quite like that term. It's a highly technical chief technologist phrase, stuff, because that's what you'll have more of, both personally and in your business world, dramatically more digital content that you'll want to look at, evaluate, get value from. That will be the challenge for you going forward. Dramatically more scale than you have. My favorite example at this point is normally to ask an audience when I can see the hands that go up, is how many people here have responsibility for the storage budget inside your organization, because whatever that number is, it's not big enough. You will need more than you think you will, because you'll want to gather all of this data coming at you from imaginably more sources to be able to find value from it. You'll also have imaginably more applications to deal with. Most organizations that I work with are in a phase of actually trying to simplify their organization and have fewer and fewer apps to deal with. No, sorry, not going to work that way. Because your customers, your employees, your stakeholders are going to take those smartphones, and the average on a smartphone these days is about 65 different applications, walk into your organization and expect them to work. An interesting way to think about it, but you will have so many applications that you're going to try and support that that's going to change the way you think about software. It'll change the way you think about how you deploy applications in the round. It will change the way you talk to your customers, partners, employees, and stakeholders. It's a very different world that we're looking at. So scale will be very different. The other different dimension will be speed. IT industry people have talked about how things are going faster forever. And that's been true. But now it's different. This is not like it was before. I would welcome you today to the slowest day you will ever have again. Because tomorrow it'll be faster. And the day after that it'll be worse, and so on, and so on, and so on. Today is the slowest day you and your organization will ever experience again. Things will continue to go faster and faster and faster. Some of the evidence I gathered there, we used to, when we look at broad market acceptance, million users or more. Radio took decades, so did television. The internet, depending quite how you define it, took several years, as did Facebook once it broke out of Harvard. The last decade or so, things have started to speed up. Instagram took a few months. Angry Birds, okay, it's a game. It's not going to change the world. It took 35 days. Draw something, which some of you may have experienced. It's a little online game. You draw something and the person at the other end tries to copy it or guess what it is. It's designed for parent-child interaction. Pardon me. Draw something took 9 days to go from nothing to 1 million concurrent users. 1 million concurrent users. How do you build infrastructure to do that? How do you cope with the levels of demand that the digital world is going to bring to you at that rate of improvement? Because in this world today, digital success can kill your business dramatically faster than failure. Think about it. You launch a new product, you launch a new service, it's really successful. Usage takes off in the marketplace and your infrastructure can't cope. Response times go down, reliability starts to suffer, the customers don't get the responses they want and they leave you in drones and your reputation is now permanently damaged. Perversely, you launch a new product or service and nobody likes it, nobody cares. You can relaunch it again and again and again until you get it right, but when you do, in the digital world, you better get it right first time because there will never be a forgiveness curve that allows them to come back. You have to be able to deal with the rate of change, which is unlike anything you've ever seen before, and building IT infrastructure to cope with that is in a very, very different space. So you do need to prepare, as the previous speaker said far better than I, for a world where everything computes. And it's the everything bit that I always have to drive customers to think about. This is not going to happen to somebody else. It's not going to happen tomorrow. It's happening now. It probably happened yesterday, and it's happening to you. Your organization is trying to face up to dealing with the challenges of how do I cope with my customers wanting to only deal with me on mobile, my customers only wanting to interact with me in ways that I'm not used to. being able to move dramatically faster to cope with the demands that I didn't see yesterday, but now are fundamental to my business. How do I cope with that? That's the world that we're trying to deal with, and that's the world that we at Hewlett Packard Enterprise, with partners like Difftronics, are trying to provide you the infrastructure and the solutions to cope, because it's everywhere. Some already gone there, like newspapers and print. I'm blessed in still having my mother with me. She's 87 years old, and I've got her using a Kindle. She never remembers to plug it in and charge it, so that's a bit of a problem. But she reads all of her books, everything else, on an electronic device in her late 80s. Everybody is already in that space. We're seeing huge changes in healthcare. That will be the major next one alongside education. And the collision of the operational technology world in manufacturing, in education, in legal, in construction. We do a lot of work with people building hospitals. Why do hospitals take so long to build? Well, they're quite complicated buildings, but actually hospitals almost get built twice. You build the building and then you smash all sorts of holes in it to put the services into it. The cabling, the wiring, the sensors. Well, how about you don't do that? How about you build it once with all the holes and cabling and channeling you need first time round? That's what we've helped to bring to the table, the infrastructure to make that possible. Everybody is going to be impacted. Your business and your industry is being impacted today. And you're going to have to find ways to deal with that. However, it's complicated. This would be a relatively simple problem, relatively, if all you had was a blank sheet of paper and you could start again. Well, we all know the real world doesn't quite work that way. You've got lots of infrastructure, and you need to be able to bring that with you to keep the lights on, to keep the business running, while you adapt and get ready for the digital generation that we are now all living in. Under huge business pressure from the non-IT people saying, but I can turn it on at home very quickly. I can use my credit card and buy a cloud service in an hour. Why can't you deploy a new service faster? Huge pressures on us and IT professionals to deliver better value, more responsiveness to our customers, our stakeholders, so that we can keep up with this rate of change, because it's never, ever going to slow down. So in our world, we see the IT structures looking like this. Your core infrastructure will be hybrid. We as a vendor have been saying that for many years. It was a deeply unpopular message for a long time. I had long, tedious conversations with many, many organizations who said, no. Everything's going to the public cloud. The whole world's going out there. No, it's not. A lot of it is, a lot of it should, a lot of it must go into the public cloud. That's the right place for that workload. But not all of it. You will absolutely, in your organization, have a hybrid deployment. Some workloads that live in, and data that lives in the public cloud, some that are in private clouds on-premise, some that are in traditional environments, because that's the best place for them. The challenge that you face, that we want to help you with, is making that joined up and coherent and whole, so the end user doesn't really care. So your data center, your cloud, will be hybrid, and your mix will probably be different from my mix, from your competitor's mix, because we're coming from different places, we're moving at different speeds, but it will be hybrid. That then will be the second major change we'll see is the intelligent edge, IoT, as was described in the previous session. This explosion of information and data and requirement coming from edge-based devices of millions of different types. Every single one of your companies or organizations are facing a new generation of industrial revolution that's coming at you from the edge. That's why we're investing so heavily in wireless-based Aruba technologies that you'll hear more about in some of the breakouts today, as well as compute and storage at the edge to make sense of all of that data. And working with partners, especially organizations that lead like Datatronics, to be able to make sense of that is fundamentally how the go-to-market will work. It's going to be much more of a partner-centric world going forward than ever has been in the past. That will be the shape of things to come. And we have to continue to evolve because our world is continuing to change. I had a very short conversation earlier with a potential customer who's in the room who's talking about how do I get into new generations of processing to keep up with the changes in the financial industry. Their particular requirement was around cryptocurrencies. How do I do that? It gets hard because we're facing some fundamental changes to the way we build systems today. If we simply keep going building the way we are, it's not going to work. Moore's Law is slowing down by around 2020. You won't get many faster processors. We have already run out of memory expansion. You cannot make memory any denser than it is today. Flash will follow shortly, maybe one more spin out of the SSD market. But we're running out of runway because of the sheer laws of physics that we build this technology out of. We need a different answer. I really like this quote. It's from a really complicated technical manual called Winnie the Pooh. And it explains how the IT industry has tried to always continue to do things the same as we always did, but try and be a bit faster. Actually, that doesn't work anymore. Yes, we need to continue to do that, and we know over the next several years you'll continue to see HPE develop new and better technologies that kind of look like the ones we have as fast as we can, but we're also taking radically new steps to build a new generation of technology. And you'll hear much more about this from Marco, one of my colleagues, in one of the breakouts later this morning. New generations of technology that will provide us with a new generation of engines that move us away from this heavily processor-centric world that we've always had. Processors, memory, storage with a bit of networking on the side ain't going to cut it. We've got to have very different models, and we're developing systems now that are going to be not processor-centric, but memory-centric. That will be the engine behind which you will get this singularity delivered. It won't be possible just with the ones we have. We'll continue to enhance and develop those, but new generations of technology, new generations of solution to help you through our partners be able to deliver more value, to be able to deal with those business challenges that we're all now wrestling with, to go faster, to cope with more scale. This is not a fairy story, this is real. It's already running. We have beta systems in the world today. It's a photograph of one of the processor boards. It's running today, and it will revolutionize the infrastructure that you will have in your organizations in 2018 through 2019 and into early 2020. Probably be your engines that you'll use for at least the next 10 years. Hewlett-Packard Enterprise continuing to invest and develop and drive the innovation so that you can go fast enough, so that you can cope with the scale of the challenges that are undoubtedly coming to your industry. I'd just like to close with this final quote. This is a really old quote, it's over 40 years old, it comes from one of the founders of our company, but it's more relevant today than it has ever been. I would translate it into modern parlance that says, there is no standstill option. If you don't embrace the new technologies, embrace the new market, look at what digital is going to do to your world, both personally and in the world of work, if you don't grab hold of that and look to drive forward, you are going to fall behind. There is no standstill option, as there always has been in the IT world, that says, I'll wait till next year. I'll let somebody else go first. I don't quite get it. I'll find out. I'll be second. It'll be okay. No, it won't. You have to take hold of this and go forward, because there is no standstill option. The world is changing so fast that you have to get ahead of the curve, and we, as a vendor and through our partner Datatronics, would love to be able to work with you and help you do that. Thank you very much for your time.
David, thank you so much. And I want you to stay here. I've got some people bringing some chairs on, and Ahmed, why don't you join David on stage just for a quick discussion. We are using the next 10 minutes before we wrap up just to field some questions. Ahmed has just had a look at all the questions, and we are trying to nitpick the important ones where Ahmed will ask David some of that questions. So please keep on posting those questions. You'll also see us releasing some of the comments from the panelists as they answer it offline. But Ahmed, over to you.
Thanks, Rudy. I guess the realizations have set in that you've got, as organizations, you've got a massive challenge on your hands in terms of keeping your businesses relevant. So, David, I think the message is quite clear from both Michael and yourself. But on a practical level, what can organizations do to embark on this journey to attack the digitalization challenges ahead? And the obvious question is speak to us, but...
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the most important thing, the one thing that I encourage everybody to think about is get engaged, do something. This is not a problem that will get any better by leaving it alone. This is only ever going to get worse. So being able to engage, whether that's with yourselves and us or with whoever their trusted advisor is, but get engaged, look at what it means to your market, look at what it means to your organization, so that you can start to evaluate the best ways forward. It will probably mean that you have to think faster. You're going to have to think more quickly in terms of the options that are on the table, and there are many more of them, which is why I think help and guidance is one thing. But don't sit back, because this problem will not get any easier if you leave it alone. You've got to get engaged.
One of the questions that has been posed from some of the audience is that clearly the careers are going to change significantly. Mm-hmm. So I guess guys in the audience and ladies and gentlemen are concerned in terms of the future of their own careers. How do you see that world changing, and what can individuals do to address that?
Yeah, I think undoubtedly we'll see change within the IT industry in terms of the skills that are needed. I see, so if I look at my organization, so I run the technology groups for Hewlett Packard Enterprise in EMEA. I'm hiring far more people now who are broadly based, more architect level people, more strategist level people. They're hard to find, I have to grow many of them. I'm hiring less people who are involved in operations. More people, that's becoming automated. So if you like, the day-to-day, as my box up and running, will become more and more automated. But I think the people who can add more value can take a broader view, particularly the ones who can look at solution sets that are based across multiple products, so not just from one vendor. And I encourage people to think about this concept of the ecosystem. The ecosystem integrator, it's exactly what your organization brings to the table. But think about, have broader based skills rather than depth based skills. I measure my people internally on this thing called the T-shaped skills. I used to hire people that were I-shaped. Right? They had huge depth of skills in a very narrow topic. And I still have some of those, I still absolutely need them. But today I encourage people to be T-shaped. I need breadth with some depth underneath it. And I think the more breadth you get, the more relevant you'll remain, and staying up to date with the changes will really help you.
I think given the constraints of time, Rudy, we are running out of time. We've got a number of other questions. We'll field them at the lunchtime session. I serve with Rudy on the HP advisory board. And the last time we were together, you can see the passion and the insight from Rudy, David, sorry. And the insight is just mind-blowing. So thank you for taking the time up to come to the very southern tip of Africa.
I love to.
We appreciated that, and thank you for the insight.
Thank you very much.